Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
On board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps. Well, Tom is not with us today. He is off on, he is cruising somewhere. Yeah, the Bahamas, Mexico. He left, and I don't know if he's going to come back from this one. But anyway, we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. As always, we've got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafoods Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, one of our newest sponsors, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners. We could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. You also check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are on podcast form on most of the major podcast sites, and they're updated normally the day after the show broadcasts. So if you subscribe, you can get alerts on those updates. Also, Tom's Tirade is available via CastBox if you like to listen on demand. So you can just listen to little snippets of him, and when he gets your blood pressure going, then you can back off a little bit and then go back. He's better than coffee in the morning for the most part, but I can't say that I love coffee, so I wouldn't do it for me. But anyway, we've got a lot of information to cover for you tonight, so if we can't get to everything, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And later on SBN, we will be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He's going to be talking suicide prevention with us. Also, we've got a guest here in the studio. I don't know if we'll have him on or not, but Brandon Lloyd, who's a retired Master Sergeant, Purple Heart recipient. He might jump on, but we're happy to have him in the studio with us today. Also, the Army and Marines are looking for what they're calling a higher caliber grunt. I don't know if it means just a bigger grunt, you know, like a But no, if the Army's looking for better grunts, they should just join the Marines. Anyway. Anyway. There we go. I knew I could get somebody going with that. But anyway, we'll give you the details on everything that they're looking at there. Also, a new report says women are closing the healthcare gap at the VA, and yet you have some of the higher-ups in the DAV demanding more. It kind of looks like they're at odds there, but we'll talk about it. Also, we will remember Mobilian and hero POW Glenn Frazier, whom we lost this in the last few days. And of course, Tom's tirade later on Days of Infamy. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, the VA has been no stranger to controversy and criticism at many of its facilities throughout the nation. Now, a new report details how some of the worst offenders may be making strides to improve, while others may be heading in the wrong direction. And it's a fairly compact story, but a lot of information there from Stars and Stripes. And it says five low-performing VA hospitals have improved enough in the past 6 months to no longer qualify as high risk. The announcement came out Tuesday. The VA hospitals are in Dublin, Georgia, Harlingen, Texas, Roseburg, Oregon, Nashville, and Denver. Those facilities were removed from high-risk status based on new performance statistics that were released on Tuesday. The statistics, they call it the Strategic Analytics for Improvement and Learning, or SAIL. They score hospitals based on 25 categories, including patient satisfaction, overall efficiency, and death rates. I guess death rates are a good statistic to have in there when you're a hospital. But the scorecards use a star system, one star being the worst, five being the best. Last year, 15 hospitals, including those facilities, received one-star ratings, which puts them in the high-risk category. And the VA in February announced a quote, aggressive new approach to improve those hospitals, which included more direct oversight from VA headquarters, which is kind of interesting because you would think that the VA would be – VA headquarters would be keeping an eye and have oversight over all of its facilities. So you kind of wonder, were they just allowed to drift at some point? And if so, why? Because you would think every year or every 6 months or every quarter, the VA headquarters would be looking at what's going on at its hospitals, at its local clinics, to make sure that you don't have facilities that are underperforming at all. But they go on to say that at the 15 hospitals – now, remember, you had 15 hospitals that were listed – with one-star ratings, and you have five that have now been removed from that. But at these 15 hospitals, 26 managers and senior leaders were removed. It doesn't necessarily say that they were fired. Removed could be that they shifted them somewhere else. So I would want to know a little bit more about what's going on there. But these folks were removed as a result of close scrutiny of performance trends, end quote. So if over the last 6 months, basically, they have been able to they got rid of these folks, and over the last 6 months there have been improvements, it begs the question, when you have facilities such as the one in Washington, D.C., which is on the other side of this, because it made the list of high risk, but apparently it has been elevated to critical. So, I mean, it's like the amp that goes up to 11. It's not high risk anymore. It's about to flatline. But – and that's the one that we've talked about where the situation was apparently so bad that the new secretary of the VA in his first few days in office visited that facility personally and walked the halls to see how bad things were there. And their quarterly review found that conditions had deteriorated. Now, with all – and it's not as if the facility in D.C. suddenly popped up as a high risk. That it was known that things were bad there. And yet, with all of the things that are going on, that one has actually gotten worse. And here you go. But the thing is, nine other – VA hospitals are still designated as high risk, even with all of the scrutiny. And you have to wonder just how bad things are at those facilities for them not to have improved. One of them, the closest one, is up in Jackson, Mississippi. They're sprinkled throughout the nation. One of those that is still on that list is Phoenix. And, of course, Phoenix is where the waitlist scandal started. So you have to wonder how bad things are at these facilities where here we are a year later, they've removed people, things are still bad. Do you have to remove more to be able to get to that point where our veterans are going to feel secure? Knowing, I mean, goodness knows, if you go to the Jackson, Mississippi VA hospital, are you taking your life in your hands? And the VA knows it. So anyway, you know, if you've got comments, if you have thoughts on it, I would love to hear from the veterans out there on what they think. And again, we know that the boots on the ground are doing the best that they can for our veterans. But you have to wonder when you start removing management like the way they are, how much more do you need to cut? Anyway, hey, on the other side of the break, Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Glad to have him on board when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Check your trim set, check your overall steering, arm maneuver. Diamond, there I go, a low transition, right turnout.
83,
diamond up there, 16,
let's
turn them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5 and check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is always a privilege to be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you, Cal. It's good seeing you.
Well, it's good to be seen. You know, Tom has decided he's going to cruise for 10 or 20 days. So I'm holding down the fort here. And maybe he'll come back. I don't know.
You know, the thing is, when you go on cruises, you've got this depression to deal with when you get back because you're not treated like a king when you get back home.
I don't know. Tom might be treated like a king at home. I don't know. You know, the best thing about, you know, when you go on a cruise, there's, you know, I've seen the commercials. There are no bad looking people on a cruise. Everybody looks gorgeous on a cruise.
Well, on the... In the movies.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's in person, au contraire.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about Tom laying out by the pool.
You know, you look at some of these people and you wonder, what was their second choice of what they were wearing?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Or they actually planned to wear that. Yeah. but anyway, it's great to have you. How are things going out at Serenity?
Good. Really good. We've been very fortunate serving some wonderful families. It's always a pleasure to help families that are gracious and appreciate what we try to do for them.
Well, and you have just such a beautiful facility out there, and I know that you continue to work on it and improve it, and it's the area that you've got just next to the funeral home itself, with the you've got the pond there and everything else that is beautifully landscaped. And one of the neat features you've got it set so there's always something that's blooming.
It is,
regardless of what time of year it is.
It was designed that way to have full color year-round, and so we're very proud of that. That is our Serenity Rest Gardens, and that is our Cremation Gardens.
And it really is unique, and I know we've talked about, you know, more and more people are choosing cremation. And so if that's a thought, you really should stop by and just take a look at what you have to offer there.
We would love to show you around. Really would.
And not that the gardens themselves are not beautiful, but that's just such a unique area that you've got right there, and it's remarkable what you're able to do in that space. But you know, I was talking with Brandon, who's here in studio. He's busily texting somebody on his phone. But we were talking. You know, he is a Purple Heart veteran and has dealt with you know, some of the PTSD and TBI. But we were talking about veteran suicides prior to the show, and I know September is Suicide Prevention Month. So from your how does that affect our veterans?
Well, of course, September is Suicide Prevention Month, and which is the perfect time to share a life-saving resource, and that is the Veteran Crisis Line. This is a confidential, toll-free, 24-hour day, 7 days a week hotline that serves veterans and their loved ones year-round, and it helps reach qualified, caring responders. You know, many veterans may not show any signs of intent to harm themselves, but some of the actions can be a sign that a person needs help.
And, you know, in that the Veterans Crisis Line, I know early in the Trump administration, he moved to expand that and expand the opportunities that veterans have to be able to access assistance through the VA. And I know I've talked with Brandon about this, and Tom and I have talked about it on air. If they're not going to call the Veterans Crisis Line, call another veteran. Call somebody instead of picking up that gun or whatever it might be. Pick up the phone and make that call. And in the veterans community, one of the best resources we have are other veterans to be able to make sure those veterans don't fall through the cracks. What are the latest statistics that you have on how many veterans we're losing each day to suicide?
They tell me that we're losing approximately 20 veterans a day, and that's absolutely 20 more than need be. I mean, it is a tragic loss when anyone takes their life, but, you know, especially a veteran that has experienced things in life that none of us ever want to see. But they have done that to keep our nation free and provide the way of life that we enjoy every day. And so these are very special people, and we need to reach out and help these folks in any way we possibly can.
Well, and the damnable thing about it, Bill, I think I can say that on air. It's not one of the seven words, but anyway, is that number hasn't changed a whole lot. We've been tracking this here for probably the better part of 6-7 years, and that number. You've got the fact that the VA will tell you that that they don't know exactly how many veterans commit suicide each day, because obviously not all veterans are in the VA system, even though the population, the general populace thinks, well, why wouldn't they know? But that number has stayed. They picked it at 20. It went up to 22, but it stayed, and we have not been able to seemingly find a way to bring that down. Brandon?
Well, I was just going to say, it's real personal to me for a lot of reasons. One, because I've been almost a veteran that was one of the statistics. Also, I've had more than I could count buddies, even in the last, I guess, 6 months that have committed suicide. And I guess one thing that gets to me and that I think about a lot is where awareness turns into being a negative thing. To where you see a lot of commercials, you see a lot, so much stuff almost that it puts it in your mind when you wasn't thinking about it. And it's something that is on my mind every day, what I can do for myself to make sure I see tomorrow, and then what I could do to keep my eyes open from the people around me and my buddies to see and make sure they're not going down the path that I've been down.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, I know Brandon has served more recently, but are we seeing more older veterans or younger veterans? How does it break down?
You know, you would think it would be older veterans, maybe those that are infirmed, have issues in life, that they're just beaten down. But actually, we're seeing more younger veterans, especially those that have just transitioned from active duty into veteran status. I don't know if it's the regimented detail they have become accustomed to for the last several years when they served, and suddenly they're on their own. I don't know that answer, but we are seeing younger veterans, and that's disturbing.
One of the things that we've picked up on is you talked about that regimented lifestyle that they're coming from. A lot of, especially in the post 9/11 era, so many of those troops signed up right out of high school. They'd never lived anywhere else but mom and dad's, and they sign up, and suddenly they're thrust into boot camp, recruit training. Then they stay with that lifestyle until they are discharged, and they're discharged, and a lot of times they go back home to mom and dad's, but you know, and they've changed in that world that they left and might not necessarily have. If they have medical issues, they go to the VA. The VA, it was and, you know, they called it VA candy. You know, you'd walk in and say, hey, I've got this problem. You'd walk out with a bag full of drugs. And they didn't really – they say that the Army or the military trains to fight the last war. It was like the VA was training – had trained to treat the last group of veterans. And they really had to try to get ahead of that curve on PTSD and TBI and some of those other things. And so it's a disturbing trend. One of the other things we have covered here, you have Vietnam veterans that have – that came back and – they got a job, had a family. They're starting to retire now. Mm-hmm. And as they retire and they don't have that, I've got to punch a clock, I've got to be somewhere, the PTSD and everything is starting to hit them. So we're now catching it on both ends of the spectrum. And it is something that the VA has struggled to fight. You know, when it comes to what friends and family should be looking for granted, it's as Brandon said, sometimes you may not ever know that there's something there. But what are some of the telltale signs that you might want to look out for?
Well, some of the veterans in crisis may show signs of behavior that indicate a risk of self-harm. Some of these signs, and not in all cases, but in some, appearing sad or depressed most of the time. Hopelessness, feeling like there's no way out. Anxiety, agitation, sleeplessness, or mood swings. Feeling that there's no reason to live.
Bill, we're coming up on the – hold that thought.
All right.
And we'll cover more of that with you on the other side of the break. We are talking with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. We'll talk with him more about Suicide Prevention Month when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I am Cal Walters. Co-host Top Cat is out cruising somewhere in the Bahamas on a big boat, and hopefully he is having fun, and we will have him back next week, I believe. But hopefully in the meantime, he will enjoy his little vacation. But we're glad you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcast sites. Just search SBN or Scuttlebutt. And you can also catch Tom's tirade via podcast on CastBox.com. And if you subscribe, you'll get notifications when new podcasts are uploaded. And, of course, we want to thank the folks that help make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And Brandon, I saw you were over there when they were going through the This Is My Rifle. I saw a great meme the other day, and it had an airman sitting in a little cubicle and said, "This is my cubicle. There are many like it, but this one is mine." Anyway, there's my jab at the Air Force for tonight. I got the Army, and I'll find some way to get the Navy. So. But anyway, we like the Air Force. But anyway, we are privileged to have with us in studio. We've got Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Garden, and Brandon Lloyd, retired Master Sergeant, and sitting in with us. And Bill, you know, we were talking about prior to the break some of the signs that someone might, a veteran might exhibit that might be contemplating suicide? Of course, not every case is the same, but you were going through some of them. We had to go into the break. So, yeah, what are some of the others?
Sure. some of the others are rage or anger, just uncontrolled rage or anger, engaging in risky activities without thinking, losing interest in hobbies, work, or school, increased alcohol or drug misuse, neglecting personal welfare where they have a deteriorating physical appearance, withdrawing from family and friends, showing signs of violent behavior like losing control, punching a hole in the wall, or getting into fights, maybe giving away prized possessions, and suddenly maybe getting their affairs in order, tying up loose ends, writing a will, etc. But some of the signs that need immediate attention is thinking about hurting or killing yourself, looking for ways to kill yourself, and or talking about death, dying, or suicide. And, again, self-destructive behavior such as drug abuse, weapons, et cetera.
And you go down that list, and it is – there's such a range there because you go from everything of, the hopelessness, the feeling like there's no way out, to the rage and the anger. I mean, you would think those are on opposite ends of that spectrum. And one of the most telling is the withdrawing from family and friends. I think that's there's something wrong when that starts happening, whether it's accompanied by rage or depression. You know, one or the other. But when they start pulling away, it's time to pick up the phone and do something.
And especially with some of the younger veterans that have recently left active duty, where maybe they saw a lot of combat, and there's many times there's guilt of, why is it I'm still here and my best buddy is not? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of anguish that they deal with.
Yep. And, we're talking about veterans, but, the same symptoms you had a lot of folks, and I know hurricanes are back in our mind because of Florence, but you had, when Hurricane Katrina came through, you had a lot of folks in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina that were in that same situation, having seen the devastation and the loss of family and friends and personal belongings. So it extends beyond that. If you think you have someone that may be contemplating this, what should someone do? What should their loved ones, their friends, fellow veterans do?
Reach out to the Veterans Crisis Line, and there's various ways of reaching out to them. One is their telephone number, and that is 800-273-8255. Again, that is 800-273-8255. Or you can go and chat on their website with a professional. And that is veteranscrisisline.net/chat. And then another way is by texting to them at 838-255. When you reach them, a trained responder will answer your call, text, or chat and ask you a few questions. You can decide on how much information you want to share with them. The support really doesn't end with your conversation. The responders can put you in touch with local resources that you can call and reach out to. Another thing, when callers need more support, Veterans Crisis Line responders can refer them to a suicide prevention coordinator at their local VA hospital. These coordinators follow up and coordinate care for issues that led to the crisis, like post-traumatic stress syndrome, depression, readjustment challenges, sleeping problems, et cetera.
Okay. Brandon, I think you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say the biggest thing you can really do is be aware of the people around you, your loved ones. Keep an eye on them. If they change in any way that makes you think, that raises any questions, ask them. Talk to them. People like me, I was good at hiding it. But the signs and symptoms that Bill listed off, you don't want to be the one that looks back and says, oh, well, he did show that after he's gone or after she's gone. So just be aware. Just pay attention. I was big at isolating. That made it hard for people around me to notice, though, any of the signs and symptoms I showed. I was good at coming up with reasons I was isolating. But questions, call. I mean, it got to a point. My mom would call me or send me a text and say, "If you don't call me, I'm gonna have the cops come do a health and welfare." I immediately called her. So you might think you're being pushy, but if it saves somebody's life, there's no problem with being pushy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep. You know, on the national level, what are we looking at to help veterans?
Well, one thing, this past January, President Trump signed an executive order that created a task force to align the mental health and suicide prevention efforts of the VA, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Homeland Security. And they're working together across these departments to expand mental health programs and other resources for veterans during that critical first year after departing from uniformed service.
And I think that's a key there because, as I said, we have been talking about this number 2022 for the last 7 or 8 years, and it just hasn't budged. And it's a true epidemic. And ultimately, kind of like Brandon said, you know, it's going to be up to someone to step in and like you said, maybe be a little pushy, but step in. If someone does call for someone or reach out, how is their information handled when they make that call?
Well, the information you provide to that Veterans Crisis Line will not be shared unless you give a responder permission to share it or to indicate that you would like to receive care after that call. However, if you're calling for yourself and you're in imminent danger or risking of harming others, the responder will coordinate a dispatch of emergency services with local officials, as they should.
Right. And of course, you know, one of the disturbing things that was, I don't want to say it's a trend, but one thing that you find happening more and more with veterans is they're committing suicide at a VA facility, whether it's out in their car, outside of the emergency room, or in the facility themselves. And it's just a shame to know that our veterans are reaching out in some way, and they ultimately think that I'm going to have to make this display at the place that should be helping them.
Yes, you mentioned earlier about the Jackson, Mississippi facility, and I lived in the Jackson area for 35 years, and it's probably been 15, maybe years or more ago, there was a veteran that was very disturbed, and he went into the VA facility with a trench coat and a shotgun underneath and went in and killed his doctor and then turned the gun on himself.
Yeah.
And just tragic.
It really is. You know, as you said, one veteran suicide is one too many. And the more that we can do to get the word out in the local community, I mean, it's great to have a national hotline to be able to call, but to be able to you know, one of the things that we said here on the Scuttlebutt Network is we wanted to create a network of veterans that could mutually support each other and realize that while having an 800 number or a text line or chat line, whatever it might be, is good, you know, to have that veteran that's there and recognizes it and reaches out and says, "Hey, buddy, come on, let's go. Let's get you out of here."
And, you know, and sometimes it's as simple as just spending time with that veteran, just to let them know you care.
That's it.
You know, and I want to say this to Brandon. I really appreciate your service. I know that's many days, many times that's a catchphrase, but I truly mean it.
It was my pleasure. I miss it every day. I appreciate you saying that.
I've shared this with Cal. My father was a Pearl Harbor survivor, and I lost a brother in Vietnam. And to me, veterans in this nation should be a top shelf. I mean, they should be a top of the food chain.
Thank you.
Well, and you know, it is great to hear that from someone who has had family members who have served, and you hear that from folks that just in the general population that they want our veterans taken care of. You know, most veterans, the thank you is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily want, they don't need the discounts, they don't need the freebies, they don't need the giveaways. The ability that their opportunity to serve is what is important. To them, whether they, you know, they served 4 years or 20, the fact that they were able to take that oath and serve their country, and come back home, lead productive lives, and keep serving.
Absolutely.
Him just saying that gave me chill bumps. I mean, it's one of those things that you don't expect to hear, but it's every time you do hear it, it means something.
And I know, you know, you have folks that say, well, it's just a catchphrase. You know, when you meet a veteran, you thank them for their service. But, you know, I love to catch the World War II veterans that'll have the cap on and say World War II veteran, and to be able to go over and have the opportunity to thank them because we're losing so many they're at the age that they are. But anyway, Bill, thank you so much for joining. Where can folks go for more information?
For the suicide hotline?
No, for Serenity.
Oh, yes, for Serenity. You can call us anytime at 251-653-4781 or our website is serenityfuneralhome.com. Very simple.
Bill, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Suicide Prevention Month.
It's my pleasure.
And thanks for everything that you do to serve our veterans and their families out at Serenity.
That is especially my pleasure.
Outstanding. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Days of Infamy. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives. Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
Those words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, uttered over 70 years ago before a Congress and a nation in shock, still stir the hearts of today's patriots. He delivered the words to a nation which only hours before had rested peacefully in a world overcome with the tragedies of war, and to a world anxious to discover if the United States would officially enter the conflict known as World War II. Within days, the U.S. would be fully embroiled in the war, with most of the nations holding in the Pacific having succumbed to the onslaught of the forces of the Empire of Japan, and Germany and Italy joining their Japanese ally and declaring war on the U.S. The devastating effects of the swift-moving Japanese attack would be felt by many Americans, both civilian and military, as they were left to their own devices by a nation caught with its pants down, guys. Young men in uniform were abandoned by a government unable to muster a timely response to the attack at Pearl Harbor and beyond. Many, like Glenn Fraser, held out hope that the promised reinforcements, resupply, or rescue might come only to be swept up by the Japanese juggernaut and cast into the hell that befell the survivors of the Bataan Death March. His story and those of his fellow survivors should be mandatory reading for every student in this nation in order that future generations understand the sacrifice that these men made for this nation. A nation, I'll remind you, that abandoned them on foreign lands and cost countless thousands of lives in the process. However, it is just as important to recognize that through all of his suffering, Lincoln's contemporaries never lost their love for this country or their belief that it is the greatest nation on earth. And so this year, over 70 years since the Japanese attack, we as a nation will again remember Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor. Such rallying cries are not unique in our history. One can imagine the founding fathers in Philadelphia, during the heated debates over the Declaration of Independence, often implored the assembled delegates to remember Concord and Lexington to advance their cause, or generations to come using Remember the Alamo as a call to persevere against unsurmountable odds. While never romanticizing in film as the Alamo or Pearl Harbor would later be by Hollywood, the sinking of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor would stir public sentiment against Spain, which then owned Cuba, creating the Remember the Maine slogan and pressuring President William McKinley to ask Congress to declare war and bring the U.S. into the Spanish-American War. Some might argue that had the outcome and popularity of the Vietnam War been different, we might be regaling with cries of Remember the Maddox as a rallying cry for the Vietnam War, although it might be more appropriate to remember the Mayaguez. Just Google it, guys. Or more recently, we were told never forget 9-1-1 or 9-11, however the hell you want to say it. While our troops were spurred on by the Flight 93's Let's Roll, and that wasn't Alabama, guys, and a president that knew what it meant to defeat our enemies.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
Now, undoubtedly, there are those that will bitch and moan and gnash their teeth about how such slogans are nothing more than nationalistic, jingoistic, simplistic propaganda meant to feed the most base instincts of our bloodlusting, imperialistic society. Damn, what a sentence. For you, I would simply say, how's that Hope and Change campaign slogan playing out for you, buddy? Because while remembering Pearl Harbor 75 years later may seem like an act of folly for a generation on the brink of extinction, each of these events and those corresponding slogans created a common ground and point of reference for a nation in need. Just as the Stars and Stripes gave heart to troops around the world in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor and to millions throughout the world seeking freedom, even till today, those slogans brought focus during the chaos of combat and clarity during the isolation of internment in foreign lands.
One wonders how history will judge the current administration,
which fails to take time to remember so many of the pivotal dates in our nation's history, will pause long enough to commemorate what happened at Pearl Harbor, or at least attempt to learn from the lessons of that tragic day. For not only were we caught flat-footed on that Sunday morning, we had allowed ourselves to be lulled into a false sense of security, that negotiations with our enemies might stop the inevitable march to war. FDR said it best himself.
Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves.
At some point, we have to remember that there is evil in this world. Remember that there are people and nations that wish to do us harm. Remember that they will stop at nothing to see us in chains with our freedoms in tatters, our history rewritten and our culture transformed. And so, yes, it is the right and proper thing to do when we remember those who have gone before. From Concord to the Alamo, from Pearl Harbor to the Twin Towers.
We must remember the sacrifices of those who have gone before in order that future generations embrace the freedom that was so dearly paid for by our patriots.
No, the greatest infamy would be that we let their flame be extinguished by those more concerned with poll numbers than patriotism. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. a true patriot and pork-eating crusader.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And we are remembering Colonel Glenn Frazier, who went to his final duty station 15 September 2018. Colonel, Godspeed, and we're remembering you and your family. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.